This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Although we specifically relate to the Nyanim of Mitzrayim, the Golus, the Oini, the Shiput, different things that everyone's very, very familiar with, but in many ways, since Shibut Mitzrayim is the root of every Shibut, and everybody, everything that befell us, and every problem we have is rooted. So there's a lot of nekudas, a lot of different things that are included that are important to think about a little bit, to consider the content of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, it says, Afilu kolon chachomim nevoinim yoynes ha-Torah mitzvah leinu l'saper. In other words, he presents a challenge, a kasha, and he says, even if we all are learned and know and so on and so forth, don't think you're potter, we still have a mitzvah to be misaper. That's the lashon that the Baal Haggadah puts in. Really, it's a puzzling challenge, because we have many mitzvahs that remind us, l'mashal. In 2 days we'll have Shabbos, in 3 days we'll have Shabbos, and Shabbos, we all know what Shabbos is about, and yet we make Kiddush and we mask a Shabbos in Shemoneh Esrei, and no one does it say Afilu Kol Yoyei Chachamim, and we all know about Shabbos, we still have to remind every day. I have a better question. Twice a day we're masking Yetzias Mitzrayim in Krishma. So I don't recall anyone saying, even if you're Chacham and a Navi, there's a Torah, you still don't get a discount on Krishma. You don't get a 30% off for the parish of Tzitzis. You have to lane it because you have to lane it, and that's it. So that question never bothered anyone. So why is it bothering us now? Why would we have to repeat Yetzias Mitzrayim if we all know about it? And what about every day, twice a day? On the flip side, and if it is a problem for some reason, then what's the answer? He doesn't say an answer. It's sort of kacha, you know, the way in Israel they say kacha. Even that, we still are mechuyev l'sapi at such time. So hagufa, if it is a problem, you haven't resolved the problem. So the etzem mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim is something which is challenged, and somehow it's underlined that it's a mitzvah l'sapi v'chamad v'ayinim, and we don't have any understanding why that is, what that is, and so on. It says, in the same sense, the Baal Haggadah says, cholamar b'l'sapi, so even if we're kolam chamad v'ayinim, amar b'l'sapi is mishubach, and brings a story. The Gemara has a halacha, that l'olam yeshane adam derech k'tzara. It is appropriate when you're learning Torah to be as concise as possible. The Rambam puts this in the framework of the Midas Tovos in Hilchos Deos when he speaks about Shtika, and he says that it is Shtika, being quiet is a tremendous Midah Tova. And even in Divrei Torah, a person should be as concise and as crisp as possible. The Rambam is Nur Darsh Nur Mekayim. The Rambam Sefer is a model of that. And that's why we spend so many incalculable hours trying to figure out what the Rambam means. He's very, very crisp, very sharp, and doesn't have extra words. So learning Torah in a way that is very concise and precise, without arichas dvarim, is positive. So why would that not be a mile over here? So why would Yetzias Mitzrayim to be mairich so much, when say it in as crisp and as, and like we say every night, you know, in Krishma, ani Hashem akach sheyitzir me'eretz Mitzrayim, that's it. And here this is hefech of what's normal. It's almost ironic that the Gemara places this klal of a person teaching derech tzara, the Gemara is in Psachim, one of the places. That's the first place it appears, and the Gemara says, speaks about the only exception being Lashon Nekiyah. But normally, having a very, very concise way of speaking is Meshubach, and that's why you should learn Torah. So why is here different? So the whole musig of Sipri Tzitzrayim seems to be very different than the Schira, and the fact that we raised the issue of knowing already, very different than the places that we say you're supposed to be as concise as possible, and this is being as lengthy as possible, and so on, is important. And the Rambam paskens that obviously that whoever's marvelous up in Mashahoyam and Nisan flaws is Mishubah. Those are points about the Sipur, and it's something unique about this mitzvah that somehow is distinct than Zechiras and distinct from Talmud Torah. Very different type of mitzvah. In Parshas Va'era, when it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to take out Kal Yisrael, L'chein Emel of Nei Yisrael, Ani Hashem, Voitzeis eschem mitachas siblos Mitzrayim, Vitzalti eschem mi'avodosam, V'gaalti eschem bezoyen ituyev shvotim gdolim. V'lakacht eschem li la'om, V'is eschem l'likim. So we have four Lashonis, five Lashonis of V'heivesi is the fifth Lashon. We have different Lashonis addressing the Golus and all different aspects of it. So if you go back to the Brisbane Apsarim. So over there we have, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Avram Avinu what's going to befall Klal Yisrael. It says, Yodea Teda, Ki Ger Yazach HaBeretz Elohem, your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. One, vavodim, they're going to become slaves. Ve'inu oisam abameshana, and they're going to suffer. So three different items of shibut. There's ger yazach baretz lehem, avodim inoisam. If we take a look in Va'era, it reverses the process. So is obviously addressing the worst of it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you out from the terrible suffering. And then you won't have to work for them. And it makes a lot of sense that the Pasuk would unroll or unfold the tzaris in reverse order. We start with the worst tzara, move back, the one before that, and the one before that. There seemed to be a certain flow over here from bad to worse. Ger zachar baretz lehem, not avodim, much worse. The inoisam, terrible. When he rolls it back, vatzeisam tachsis mitzrayim, so the first two, it says very clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you from the suffering, will take you out of servitude, and then it says V'ga'alti, and it doesn't say anything about Ger Zachar Baretz Elohem. It doesn't say he's going to roll that back. Then it says V'lakach Teschem Li La'am, that's already one plus, which finally seems to mean putting Klal Yisrael back in a country that is theirs. So the Vega'alti is very unclear. The Pasuk doesn't exactly speak about what that means. You'll be redeemed. Well, we're not slaves. We're not working hard. No one is torturing us. We don't have a country yet. The Ve'veses Hamaratz is the final point. But v'ga'alti eschem. So there was some point over here, parallel to Ger Yeza Achabar Zalehem, that is the point that's opposite of Geula. If we're taking a look at what is Geula specifically, it's that vague end of Ger Yeza Achabar Zalehem. Now, if the reverse of that, so let's think a minute. If the reverse of that is having our own country, that's not till much later. So nothing happened by leaving Mitzrayim. If it means no suffering, no problems, we didn't have any suffering problems. We were out in the Midbar. We were nomads. So we didn't particularly have a country. We weren't established. We had none of the positive aspects of it. And we could have stayed in Mitzrayim not suffering. That's, you know, Akash Baruch has gotten rid of the suffering, the servitude, and so on. So what exactly is this point of Gula? What is it addressing? What's the issue that's being addressed? And what's happening here? So I want to, I guess, use a point that is, the Zohar Kaddish says something, it's quoted in the Chassidish Sfarim, that the dibur, the power of speech, the speech itself was what was in Galus, and therefore the coming out is a coming out of dibur. That's pretty much the way it says. Quite cryptic what that means. It obviously explains the inyanim of dibur and so on, but we really need to try to understand what exactly that means. What are we talking about and so on? So let's understand a little bit about the essence of Golus and Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and every human being with potential. And life means taking the potential and realizing it, allowing it to blossom. So when a person has many seeds, does he have a crop? He has a potential for a crop. But all it is a seed. And allowed to flower and to blossom, it realizes itself. If not, it's sort of nipped in the bud, so to speak. It's frozen, and it has not realized itself. It's true about everything in the world. Most specifically, a human being. More specifically, Klal Yisrael, who have an extraordinary neshama, which in itself, all it is potential. So, just like a person who has a lot of money and he never invested it, it's almost a tragedy. In other words, this money was money you could have built buildings, businesses, whatever a person does to invest, and nothing came of it. It just sat there doing nothing. A person has a huge warehouse full of seeds, never plants them. Nothing happened of it. There's something in it that is tragic. A lot more tragic is a human being who is never, ever able to realize himself and never able to bring out his potential. So, in the biggest scope of Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world is neshama, potential, and either coming to fruition or dying, never having realized itself. Golos means, first and foremost, that the seed is locked into something else. It's just like when you put something around it, you put something in jail. You don't allow it to blossom. Since the only place when Ger Yazachar Beretz Loy Lahem means they will be confined in a shell that will not allow it. It's just like you have something in a package and you can't break the package open. The potential is there, but you can't take it out. Golos, first and foremost, before suffering, the concept of Golos is this thing is within something else. The Lashon of the Pasuk is Hanisa Lekim Lakachas Goy Mikerev Goy. Has Hashem ever tried to take a nation out from within another nation? So Chazal say a mashal, like a shepherd, or somebody who manages cattle, when there's a mother that has an embryo, it has a fetus, and the fetus inside it, the shepherd comes and helps pull it out, and give birth. That was the position of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. So it's not a fetus in a mother's womb is not suffering in any way. It's getting everything it needs. The one thing that's happening in the womb, if it were to stay in the womb, is it could not develop past its confines, and it could never become an entity on its own. That is the position of a fetus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim was a potentially living being locked into another being. Our being locked into an Egyptian society, it wasn't just suffering. Without suffering, it means we can never become Klal Yisrael. We're basically subsumed in another culture, another people, and we can never, ever become ourselves. That's the first thing that stunts us. So even if, just like a fetus, the mother's feeding and nourishing, and everything is good, but the very fact that it's frozen there destroys its potential, and in a sense destroys it totally. That was the first point of Golos, and it's the most essential point of Golos. That's why the Pasuk, when it's unrolling, so means I will take out the suffering, I'll take out, second step, I'll take out from being enslaved. V'ga'alti aschem, b'zernetuya, means I will release you. I don't have to say from what. I will have you come into your own. And the Lashon Bezrei Netuya rings with Chazal, what Chazal say, a mashal like a shepherd taking out the fetus from the mother's womb. It's sort of an outstretched hand that's reaching in and taking out something from one environment and bringing it into its own. So the first point of Golos, the central point of Golos, is the sense of being totally confined and not being able to realize itself. That was Klal Yisrael. If we are to move this point over to each person as a person, and to Klal Yisrael in general, every person's potential, we spoke about neshama, that's one way of looking at it. Every person's potential lies in what he understands to be right and true. So if I believe X or Y or Z, that's my potential. Things that I do not think to be true, then if a person, for instance, doesn't understand that being a Talmud Chacham is important, then it's not unrealized potential, then he has no potential for that. A person who understands and knows with his mind that that's right, then we can call that the point of potential. The big gap in the Sfarim, they speak a lot, many of Kabbalah, they speak a lot about three strata of a person's functioning in the world of mitzvahs. There is the strata of thought, ideas, understanding. There is dibur, speech, and then there's action. So we understand thought. Obviously, if a person doesn't believe what's true, if a person doesn't know what to do, and so on, obviously a person won't do any mitzvahs, and there's nothing to talk about. The strata of action, we also understand. That's what most mitzvahs are. Most mitzvahs are to do something. They're activities, they're actions. But what's that middle strata of dibur? I mean, yes, there are mitzvahs that are dependent on dibur. To some degree, Talmud Torah is primarily dibur. The other mitzvahs, fine, Kurleini Krishma, Parash Bikurim, there are mitzvahs, but then that's action. Well, why would we make it? Why would it be called another strata? It's doing what you're supposed to do. And yet, dibur is considered to be the crucial midpoint. So we would think, I think what it means is dibur is the direct expression of my thoughts and understanding. If it's not expressed, then what we would call the emotional sense of it, I know it's the right thing to honor parents. From knowing to doing, there's a big gap. Somehow we don't actually bridge it all that well. It has a lot to do with our feelings. We know it up here, but that knowledge, it doesn't go past just knowing. And therefore, to get to actually doing, especially when it's difficult, it's difficult. But when we're able to express ourselves / emotionally, verbally, which is the same in a certain sense, a person talks about things that he cares about. If things that I know and I really don't care about, I don't care to express it. When I feel very passionate about something, when I feel very moved, angered, upset, thrilled, whatever, then I talk about it. Talking is the way that the idea has moved down and began to express itself. And it's a critical link between knowing what's right and doing what's right. The Golos, Klal Yisrael, was the most, their sense of right and wrong was the most condensed possible. They had a Mesoros from the Avos, it lay in the back of their minds. They recognized it when Moshe Rabbeinu came round and he said Pakod Yifkod. Rashi said that a simin that they'll be nigal. Moshe was talking to a crowd that was familiar with what he said, and down deep they had to believe it's true if they were willing to try to follow it. But it was as compressed as possible. Nothing about it, nothing in it, was expressing itself. It says LaMarshall when he said that Vayizaku, they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard. They had been in servitude for quite a while. Maybe the screws were tightened at that point, but they'd been going on for a long time. But the idea that there's Hashem to cry out to, it wasn't there. I mean, in some way they knew it, because when it did get stimulated, they did it. But until that point, it they hadn't done yet. So the dibur being in Golos means that it's something that it's there as a kernel. So just like if somebody comes along and tells you, you know, this community is starving, or they're going through a terrible time, this and that. I believe the person. I know it. Well, it doesn't maybe. But if I talk about it, I warm up the person, then he does it. So what changed? Did he not believe me in the beginning? No, he believed me. Did he not think that being hungry is a terrible thing? No. So what did I do when I spoke more, when I stimulated? The answer is exactly that. The thought in the mind is a seed. It doesn't naturally follow to action in a human way. Logically, it should. We're not logical. We're people. The bridge between what's logical to doing is it beginning to express itself first on the level of, and that's why when you talk about it, and I elaborate on how difficult and how terrible and so on and so forth it is, it begins to come out. So that's filling in that strata of dibur, which is the bridge between the two. So when we say dibur was in Golus, it means the core of Klal Yisrael's understanding, recognition, and the neshama was never ever crushed. It can't be. That's part of once HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Yaakov Avinu is going to be forever. Yisrael is going to be forever. That would never happen. But it could become like a seed that becomes frozen, and it can survive, but it's not growing, and nothing's happening from the seed. That's exactly what happened to Yisrael. And the way in which that is described in the Zohar is that Dibur was in Golus. So the problem, so let's go back to the first points we made. The mitzvahs that are Zechira, Shabbos, Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim, the job of that mitzvah is to keep it in our minds. If you don't remember something, if you don't repeat something enough, you forget it. So if we repeat it every week for Shabbos, every day, twice a day, we will always know it. Amalek once a year. That's called Zechira, that mitzvah. And there's actually quite a lot of discussion in the halachic achronim. What is the difference of the mitzvah Zechir Sitzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Sitzias Mitzrayim? They both, why aren't you Yotze one with the other? And a lot of different terutzim, a lot of different approaches. But the point is, where the mitzvah is Zechira, there is not going to be any question of, even if we know about it. That's exactly why we remind ourselves that we'll never forget about it. But Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a very different type of mitzvah. It has nothing to do with Zechira. We did Zechira. We said Krishna, and we're not going to forget about it. So what's happening now? The answer is, this mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is there to take the knowledge that we have and begin to have it blossom, have it become something that we live, that we feel, that we experience. Because without that, it doesn't really go to the Olam HaMaisa. So that's exactly what the Baal HaGadah is emphasizing. He says, even if we're all smart and wise people, mitzvah leino l'saper, because sipur is a very different type of idea. It's not zechira. We can even think about a minute. When somebody sits and tells us a story, so we have different words in Lashon Kodesh. Zechira means I remind you. So I can just say the car, the house, whatever it is that you need to remember. Okay, I got it. Haggadah is simply telling over facts. You should know that such and such is happening, and this is what you need to know, and so on. Haggadah is testimony, and that's a way to get information from one point to another point. When I sit and tell a story, more than anything else, I am trying to relive it and I'm trying to take those embers of knowledge and blow them into a flame. So true that all Divrei Torah, which are meant to be for information's sake, I'm meant to know this, I'm meant to know this, I'm meant to know this, all of those are, the shorter the better. Precision and conciseness is always the hallmark of Chachma. When the point is the knowledge, then definitely Derech Kitzura is the right way. But now that I have everything condensed, I have to unpack it. I have to take knowledge and ideas that I have and turn it into something that I'm living. And therefore, it's a mitzvah l'saper, because the Chachma and the Vayinim and Yeres HaTorah is the knowledge of it. The having it become a living, what we call Dibur, that is Hamarba l'saper. So since the purpose is to build that bridge of Dibur, that strata of Dibur, then the Marba l'saper is the one that's Meshubach. And that's why it's a mitzvah l'saper, which we don't find in any other place, not in Torah or anything else. I want to, I guess it's something that, one of those ironies or things that are incomprehensible. Undoubtedly, our door is a door that knows a lot more than any of the previous doors. In terms of how many people know how much, Baruch Hashem, there's a tremendous ribuy and shefa. Yes, we don't have the giants we had, we don't have the Chavetz Chaim, we don't have the Chaim Reis, all the big, but the amount of people that know what to do on a basic level, what it's about, and so on, Baruch Hashem, it's incredible. The ability to do mitzvahs, the ability to have kosher matzahs, mehudim and amahudim matzahs and mar and everything like that, Baruch Hashem, we're a generation that is mishupa. It's incredible bracha. And yet, there's a real challenge of living it, feeling it. Somehow, it's almost ironic that it used to be always that even somebody wasn't from, or somebody just or was barely from, or something, davening came easy to people, praying to Hashem. And you know, the argument would be, well, why do you expect Hashem to help you if you're not doing what you're supposed to do? But praying and feeling prayers was something that was natural to people, to anyone who had some sort of sense of religion. Today, very possibly, we struggle with tefillah an awful lot. And it's hard to understand. Whatever the reason is, somehow we feel like that. We have so much potential, both in what we know and what we have available to us. And yet, it doesn't connect. Well, I mean, we definitely do and everything, but somewhere along the line, that dimension is missing. And it's a dimension that requires dibur. Dibur of many ways. The early Musa movement didn't, the Musa Shmuz were not Divrei Machshava or anything of that nature. If you take a look at the Maamar of the Alter Slabodka and others, they were simply fleshing out the stories that you take, that you sort of sweep under the rug, 1, 2, 3, yeah, to try to flesh it out, to try to feel that you're part of it, to express it. I once heard from somebody, he told me that he heard from a Volba, Rav Shlomo Volba, that there was a group of younger mashgichim that had a vad, they were very close to Reb Chatzka Levenstein. And Reb Chatzka would say for them and work with them. But Thursday afternoons, he was unavailable, locked in his room, no coming, no going. So obviously, the curiosity of what he's doing was, everybody wanted to know what he's doing. So Chassidim would have to say it's very simple. Yohanovi, it's other people. Unfortunately, we're dealing with Litvaks, so that didn't work. So there was, it was like sort of a drop ceiling where you could climb in and sort of sneak in. You could look, like if somebody was agile, he could go and look in. And they picked up Shlomo Volbe. He had come from a gymnasium background, so he was still agile. That he would be the one to take a look and see what's happening. Sure enough, he climbed up and called in and looked in. It was Parshas Bishalach, and Rav Chatzka was sitting being Mavisedra. And he's in Mavisedra, and it went like this. He said, "Oh my gosh, there's just water here. There's just a yam. And every side it's Mitzrim. Where are you taking us, Moshe? It's a sure death. What's happening?" And he was living through the story and sort of acting out to himself. In other words, we've lost the ability to live the words we know in our minds. So we can say Pshetach and Vertach, nice things, wonderful things. But the mitzvah of Sipur is that we take what we have and unfold it. There's so much buried in the parashah of Psukim. Just if we were to imagine it and to think it and to live it, that would be the beginning. That's dibur. Kalamar b'lesaper means we're able to tell it as our story. It has to be genuine. It has to be ourselves, and it has to be our story. When we learn to live it, to sort of live out that story, then it begins to live. There's a chassidish of art from the Chaim Lublin. Someone asked him, "We have Baruch Hashem so many sfarim, akdoshim. Why do we need rebbes?" So he said, a chassidish of art to answer it. He said, "V'al yedei avodecha." By the dint of your servants, the servants are the tzaddikim, the rebbes, and so on. Hanevi'im kasuv, written prophets, lamer begin to speak. In other words, when you see a living person live something, vicariously you begin to live it through him. It begins to talk to you. Mitzrayim, Leila Seder, should be an evening that should especially speak to us. We, Baruch Hashem, have so much potential in many ways, because Rahu gave us. And yet, there's a sort of an Erlas Halev, something that just, the deeper is in Golas. We don't live it. We can't express in words. We have the ideas, the Seichel Shabbat, but not the words Shabbat, not the deeper. We should develop each kafi, each person himself, should be able, Baruch Hashem, we should, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to turn what we know and understand to be true into our words, into our story. We should be able to breathe life in it. And that's the Geula that we're talking about. The Golus is the Golus of Dibur. The Ga'alti Eschem means to take us out of our, what's holding us back, what's freezing us, and allow us to begin to develop and become the people we're supposed to become. Baruch Hashem.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.